Hello and welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter at Tottenham Pod, Instagram at Podspur, and on our Facebook page at Tottenham Podspur. You can also visit our website at podspur.com to check out the blog and find all of the Podspur accounts to stay up to date on everything Podspur. There will be a link in this episode description with a link to all of those accounts, so please follow the show and click subscribe to join the conversation. Just making sure all of this still works. It's been a long hiatus for Podspur, but we've existed in the shadows, and I'm glad Podspur is back. I'm glad to be back and excited for what this upcoming season brings, not only for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, but for Tottenham Podspur and the crew that we've assembled. If you've listened before, you'll remember my voice. I'm your host, Matt from Rhode Island. I'm a co-chair of the Rhode Island Spurs Official Supporters Club, and I created this podcast back in 2019. This is now the third iteration of Podspur, but I have to say I am very excited about this new look. I've gone back and cleared out all of the old episodes and accounts, so please make sure you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and you're subscribed to this podcast. This is a fresh start, and I'm very grateful for it. For a bit of context, as we're in the midst of silly season, as many call it, we are recording this on Saturday, June 25th, right around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Before I introduce my two good friends joining me in the virtual studio today, I did want to introduce two of the others who couldn't make it today, but I teased a bit in the Podspur trailer. Currently, we have a five-man squad, so you could hear any combination of these five voices throughout the season, and all but one has featured on Podspur at some point in time. We're also always looking to add some good people to the team, so if you're interested, get in touch. First off, big shout-out to the two who could not make it, but will be on throughout the season, including my guy JR from Philly. He's off bartending and slinging drinks and probably drinking a bit himself today. You can follow JR on Twitter at JohnRussell215. Also making his return to Podspur this season is one of the original members and my good friend from NYC, Mr. Jordan Bolds. Jordan has been a friend of mine for several years now. We chat a lot, and I'm very excited to have convinced him to come back into the fold. And you can follow Jordan on Twitter at JBoldsy. And now let's get into this episode, which we've aptly dubbed Summer School. Along with myself, my two compadres today are also teachers. So I'm a health and PE teacher. We've got a history teacher and a math teacher in the lecture hall today. I've started my summer off with a bang as I'm in a walking boot for 2 weeks after fracturing my ankle. So let me crack a beer here and self-medicate while we get things rolling. Making his Podspur debut from Albany, New York, Mr. Jeremy Morehouse at Twitter at JDM2241. Welcome to Podspur, Jeremy. I hope your summer is off to a better start than mine. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going great, Matt. I would say that I'm doing pretty well compared to you. No casts, no boots on my leg, doing okay. I've only been out of school here for a little less than 24 hours, but I'm already loving the sun, man. So really excited to be here and to talk some Tottenham. And it's very good and therapeutic for Spurs fans to be together and talking, because when we're left together in our own minds, it's a very dangerous and dark place.
It sure is, as is that Bluebird app, and I know we'll touch on that a bit later. I'm actually heading off in my boot to Portland, Maine this weekend, so I'm going to be doing a lot of walking and a lot of drinking, so hopefully it doesn't swell up. Big shout out to Bissell Brothers Brewing. That's where I'm going. That's actually where I watched the Champions League final. If you're ever in New England and you're near Maine, head up to Portland. They have Spurs supporters club scarves all over decorating that place. It's an awesome place. They're big Spurs fans and very welcoming. They will usually have matches on if they are playing. And now from Bowling Green, Kentucky, our expert resident blogger. You go check out his season wrap-up series on podspur.com if you haven't already. My good friend, Mr. Dustin Gentile. You've been on summer break a bit longer than Jeremy and I. How's everything treating you, my friend?
Everything is good. Yeah, I've been. Our last day of school was May 17th. No, sorry. May 19th. Man. So I've been living it up. But come August 10th is our first day of school. You guys will still be about a month out from school starting. So we do things a little bit different here in the South, but it's okay. Hey, thank you. I'll use a line that our principal uses about me all the time. We're going to use the word expert very, very lightly when it comes to anything I do. But thanks for the shout out. Also, I want to say thank you guys to anybody who's read any of those pieces. I think I just sent out a tweet called "In a Labor of Love." It was a lot of fun, but it took a lot more time than I expected it. But I also didn't want to write crap. So I wanted to make it seem like even though I teach math, I can,
string some words together. And us here in Kentucky, we can actually speak in fluent sentences and all that. I didn't have to, you know, take my shoes off to count anything or any of that. So,
hey, I'm a PE teacher. I have to do that. You know, the old saying goes, those who cannot do, teach. Those who cannot teach, teach Jim. So we've got all the bases covered over here.
Hey, we're like we're not even 4 minutes in and we've already got a School of Rock reference. So we're firing on all cylinders.
All right. All right, boys, school's in session. Summer school is in session. I know we're out, but let's get this episode rolling. Let's start with the window so far. Spurs have 3 signings in. It's a lot more than most of the other big six. We have 3 official signings, I should say it as that. Fraser Foster, goalkeeper from Southampton, comes over. Ivan Perisic, free transfer from Inter Milan, and Antonio Conte, fanboy, also coming over. And Yves Bissouma from Brighton, kind of snuck in there. Let's start with you, Jeremy. Of these 3 signings, how do you think the fit is? What kind of impact do you expect them to have on the squad?
Well, I think the fit is great. And by the way, I'm completely ecstatic about these signings. I mean, the Perisic one getting done so quickly after the final game of the season, wasn't it like the week after or something like that? It was
pretty darn close.
It came really, really quickly. And that felt very surreal because we weren't even sure yet whether we were supposed to talk about last season yet. And here we were with a new signing. So obviously, every Spurs fan knows that the way we've negotiated in the past is to really wait a long time to bring guys in. So that was exciting. You know, getting a backup goalkeeper in, also really important. Bissouma, I think, you know, that's the one that really made a huge splash for all of us. And it's also super encouraging as a Spurs fan to know that you can wake up in the morning and find out you signed a player and you didn't know anything about him the night before. So I think we'll get into why that's significant maybe a little bit later on. But overall, I think these guys are a great fit. You know, we have to see how Conte wants to integrate them into the squad. So maybe there's more behind the scenes that will be yet to be seen. But overall, I'm really excited.
Yeah, well said. I think looking at all 3 of them, I'll start with Fraser Foster. I did see an article out there, and I'm blanking on the source right now, that said they expect Foster to challenge Lloris for the number one shirt, which I don't at all. But I do love the fact that we've brought in and continued with the trend after Joe Hart of having an English backup goalkeeper to help with that quota that Spurs are always up against, it seems. I do, however, think Fraser Foster will give us a little bit of better play than we saw from Joe Hart in the cup games. Joe Hart, you know, he had his time. He was England's number one, but mental mistakes, I would say, is Joe Hart's biggest issue. There were some Europa Conference League games or early cup games last season that there were some shots he let in that he was nowhere near. And I think Fraser Foster will be a better number two to have in there for some early round cup games. You know, depending on how far we progress in those. So I do like the signing. I like keeping in the trend of helping the quota out with that signing as well. As far as Perisic, for me, I think he's like a fine wine. He's gotten much better with age. I think it's a great player to bring in and have Ryan Sessegnon get a little bit of tutelage from and, you know, potentially rotate with. I still expect Sessegnon to hold down that left wing back spot. I think that's kind of my bolder prediction of early on this window. I think Conte is very high on Sess. I think Sess was one of our better players in the outside of our attacking front down the stretch last season. So I'm going to say Sess holds down that spot, but Perisic is a hell of a player to bring on for the last half an hour and cause some hell down the flanks. And when we do talk a little bit later in this episode about formation and whatnot, you know, I'll talk about when I can see those two kind of interchanging, but that's kind of mine. And then Bissouma, just an absolute stud. I love him. I loved him from the day that he laughed off Arsenal after coming off the pitch back in 2018, 2019, whatever it is, that gift still lives on.
It was 18-19. I remember that green kit from that season.
Yep. So I do like that signing. I have some concerns, though. And I have some concerns with what that means for Rodrigo Bentancur, what that means for Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, and we'll talk about that as we get into formations. I just worry about, you know, what formations will look like, who's going to miss some playing time. But we are in Champions League, and there are a lot of competitions, and you talk to some people out there and Spurs are winning the quad. So we will need that rest in rotation. But it'll be interesting to see how Bissouma fits in for me. But Dustin, what's your take on these three coming in?
Overall, great stuff. I mean, Fraser Foster is a mountain of a man, 6'7". I think there's something to having a tall goalkeeper who's also pretty agile on top of that. Everything you said about Ivan Perisic and the connection that he has with Ryan Sessegnon, I think is spot on. Ryan Sessegnon will definitely learn a thing or two. In one of my blog posts, or it was in the last one that I wrote about the players of the season, I had Ryan Sessegnon in my honorable mention, but I said that I think one of the best things that Conte did for him was give him some stability. He nailed down that, like, he's like, you're going to be my left wing back.
You let him play. That's
where you're going to be. Don't worry about trying to play the left mid or the left winger. This is where you're at. I think that's what plagued Sessegnon, because he had to be so, you know, he's got to know how to, you know, do all three things, which, I mean, granted, as a wing back, you kind of do all three things in a way, but I think just that stability there was what was there. But I also think competition's good, because you know what, if Ryan Sessegnon struggles or gets injured or whatnot, you know, we have a contingency plan and Ivan Perisic. And I know, Matt, we talked about yesterday that, you know, how many minutes he's going to play. I know we'll get into that later, but I think that's a really good shout of just having. I think the big thing that it shows is we have depth now. I think that's what's killed our squad a lot the last few seasons, is we struggled so much. Think about our Champions League year. We struggled down the stretch in the Premier League because we just didn't have anybody. We were so beat up, and we had so few people. I mean, we've had to play some people who weren't really – I mean, think about that Champions League game at RB Leipzig where, yes, we were down 2-0 on aggregate, but then it was send the young boys on. Like, we've got nobody else. We've just got to play who we've got to play.
And I want to hop in for a sec, Dustin, on one of the points you made with squad depth. And I think Jeremy's alluded to Spurs Twitter and, you know, getting very negative at times. And I think people are having a lot of difficulties with understanding squad depth as a whole. I mean, you bring in Bissouma and then immediately people start tweeting out, we're selling Højbjerg. we're competing on four fronts this season, and one of them is the greatest competition in the world. I don't care what anyone says, the World Cup, Euros, whatever. UEFA Champions League is the best soccer you can watch in the world, in my opinion. And to have players that to rotate and withstand injuries is just so important. It doesn't mean you have to go and sell people.
I mean, there's a reason why I have a shirt on right that says watching Tottenham on a Wednesday. I know you guys can't see it, but watching Tottenham on a Wednesday night, we're not singing about watching the FA Cup or watching the World Cup. Like, it's a big deal. Yes, I mean, we love the World Cup, and I guarantee you come November, we'll have plenty to talk about the World Cup, because, you know, that's the only thing we're going to be able to talk about for a little while. But playing in that, like I said, I've told people I've not been a Spurs supporter for super duper long. But I understand how big of a deal it is. It's huge for us to get there, because I mean, it's literally been the difference in us signing people that we probably could have landed. But they said, looked at us and said, I mean, we didn't get Pau Torres last year because we weren't playing in the Champions League.
Right. With Jules Koundé. Like, the list goes on. The list goes on.
Yeah. I think not having that probably cost us also maybe a little bit of Franck Kessié, which would have been a really good signing too. But
isn't it also interesting? I mean, when a guy like Pierre-Emile Højbjerg hears that we signed Bissouma, do you think he's in his room crying and upset? Or do you think he's pumped because we've got a better shot at winning the title? You know,
that's an absolute great shout, Jeremy.
They're pro athletes and they have a competitive edge. And I don't think they're as worried about it as we are. I think that if anything, they should be super excited that we're going to have the depth to be competitive. So I would hope so. And if anybody can't handle that, I would question whether they're really up for the playing with the big boys here. So
right on. And I think another perfect example of that is even Lucas Moura. When Steven Bergvine came in, Lucas Moura was in quite a rut, and upon Bergvine's arrival and like, oh shit, I have some competition now on this wing, Moura stepped up big time post COVID. You know, we saw
he did. I mean, he played okay even when Kulusevski came in too. Like, right, he doesn't shy away. Pressure makes diamonds, so they want to. I mean, that's what separates, you know, the really, really good athletes from the not very good athlete. I mean, Matt, I know you coach high school sports. I'm involved with high school athletics. Like, our kids who – you could tell who the kids who had the winning mentality and who are going to go play at that next level. It's because they're not afraid of, you know, some hard times.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that, and, you know, we've seen the people who's, I mean, Lucas Morris stepped up. Ben Davies has stepped up a level. PEH, I know, will step up. I don't think Vikings.
they don't back down. They don't.
No, they don't do that. But also, I've been rewatching the Amazon. I told you guys I've been rewatching the Amazon documentary. I think of that infamous scene with Danny Rose and Jose Mourinho. Like, you can see the cold. Yeah, the mentality is different. You can say what you want about that, but I think it showed a little bit how Jose wanted Danny Rose to elevate, and he didn't.
That's why he's not with us. So speaking of elevating, and again, harking back to Jeremy's point about Spurs fans being left to their own devices, there has been quite a calling on Twitter, and I've been retweeting them as Toxic Spurs Twitter, Toxic Spurs Tweets or whatever, alert. None of the original tweeters have actually responded to any of those, except for one. But there are a lot of people on Twitter right now, and, you know, Twitter's the one I use. Every now and then I hop on the Koi's Reddit, but Twitter's my main one. But a lot of people calling for Paratici's head. They want him out because we haven't had a signing in, I think it's 9 days now. Although, we did mention those three. There are quite a few links to some substantial players out there.
Do those same people remember how we went like two or three transfer windows without a signing?
Right. We didn't spend a pound just so we could build a new stadium. But Jeremy, I definitely wanted to get your take on this because I'm a big Fabio Paratici fan. I think he's done a great job. I think you can argue his only real miss so far has been Golini, but it's tough to judge a loan. And I say miss, but let's go back to the fact that's actually a loan. So, I mean, that's what a loan is for, to preview. Exactly. You put him in, he didn't really perform. And I would also caveat that with keeper is a lot tougher than a outfield player to loan and see if you want to buy, because the, you know, playing behind the club captain is your opportunities and chances are going to be much fewer and further between. But what are your thoughts on all of
playing behind the reigning gold or the reigning keeper for the World Cup or for the World Champions?
Exactly. Yeah. What are your thoughts on all of this?
I mean, this is the question I would ask. You know, Romero, Kulusevski, Bentancur, Perisic, Basuma. Is there another squad in the league that's upgraded 5 starting positions in 11 months?
That's a great show.
It's absolutely incredible. And that's not all the players he signed, but probably, except perhaps you mentioned you thought maybe Cesc would hold on to the starting job. We'll see. But that's potentially 5 of the starting 11 upgraded and improved in less than a calendar year. That's that's top-notch stuff.
I think you also have to look at that January window and bringing in those three, and like, teams don't reshape in January like that.
It's really difficult to pull off a strong January.
You know who knows very well that our January was transformative is Arsenal. They fully understand that because they did nothing and we signed 2 players, they're playing on they're not playing. They're playing on Thursday.
Right.
So the only concern I'll throw in about Spurs in general is I still worry that we can't sell players properly. And I don't, maybe that's another something that we'll get into. I don't want to veer us off track here, but that's still, I get nervous when I look at all these players that we might have to move. So I'll hold up on that.
We can definitely hop right in there, Jeremy. Okay. I do like that because, we're talking Paratici here. So, you know, not only is his responsibility to bring players in, it's also to sell them on. I think that where Tottenham are at as a club right now, it's addition by subtraction with a lot of these outgoing. So are we going to take a hit? Yeah. Is it the best? No. But is it going to benefit us in the long run? Yes. And I think that, you know, it's going to open up some spots. It's going to open up some opportunities for some other players. So if you want to hop back in, Jeremy, with, where you're going with that.
Well, I think 2 things hurt Pochettino during his run. I mean, one was obviously signing nobody. But towards the end, it was more so who wasn't moved out. I think that really hurt the dressing room. So I'm hoping that we can improve in this area. And you know what? If I had to really answer the question, I do think at the end of the summer, we'll have gotten the job done. But that actually gives me the jitters more. I don't think it should, because we're not in a position anymore where we need to sell in order to buy. But for some reason, that's the thing I find myself thinking about. And wasn't Paratici, wasn't that one of his criticisms that at Juve maybe he struggled a little bit to move players on, or am I misremembering? Nobody seems to be thinking
yeah,
that.
I can't comment on that.
Okay. I don't follow Serie A close enough for that. But I
all right.
Know, yeah.
Slap an asterisk by that statement. That may be a miss piece of information there.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you very well could be right there. But Dustin, come in on this Paratici talk and the job you think he's done so far.
I mean, Jeremy said it, but I mean, we've strengthened five positions just like that. And you know what? I think some of the issue with to talk about outgoings, I'm not going to get into specific names, but think about who we're trying to move on. You know, some people who have been at the club for a while, some people who have were record or high end signings and haven't performed the way we wanted them to. You know, some of those things, like I'll mention Steven Bergwijn. Like it seems like, you know, what we're kind of haggling over a relative, I wouldn't say small amount. It's more money than I'll make in my lifetime and what I do, but like,
all
you know,
three
in,
of us, buddy, all
for real. But it's, I mean, in the terms of sport, you know, it's not a whole lot of money, and yeah, it seems a little bit of finagling. I mean, it's just tough. I don't want to keep on tooting my own horn with things I wrote this summer, but
hell yeah, man, toot that horn.
But in my moments of the season, I talked about, I think it was number eight. It was, we moved on Dele, and we loaned out Lo Celso, and we loaned out Ndombele. And I feel a little bad about including GLC in that, because I, you know, I said in there, like, he's had some injuries. It's been a hard time for him to find some spots. He's had some moments of quality, definitely more so than Tanguy Ndombele, but he
was deported in the middle of a match.
Yeah, I did. I think I wrote that about, I vaguely implied that about Cootie Romero later on, but you know, it's we need that addition by subtraction. We needed that. It's just trying to get rid of some of that mentality. You know, we've got to get some of that mentality in there. Selling Dele Alli from a stance of what he meant to me at the club, from someone who's only watched for a short period of time, it hurt. It was the same thing when Christian Eriksen left for Inter Milan. Like it hurts to see those people who have been so impactful on your squad. You know, I'm turning a blind eye to all the talk that Real Madrid are interested in him and Son. I'll cry when that happens. If that happens, I don't want to mention that though. We're not speaking that into existence, so I'm sorry I brought it up. But like, it's hard, but it's business. You know, I'm telling you guys, I watch a lot of baseball, and unfortunately, I'm dealing with my Cincinnati Reds this year, just selling everybody, and sometimes it's hard business. Like when we sold Eugenio Suarez, I was really, really upset. But also, you look at what the numbers say, and where it's a data-driven business, and it's like, okay, it's the right time. Getting rid of Dele Alli was a move, because he wasn't really adding a whole lot to our club quality-wise. It's hard, but it's necessary. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to kind of round back to what I originally said. The outgoings, I think, is going to be a little bit tougher just because of who we're trying to get out, but I'm confident it'll get done.
All right. Yeah, that's a good shout. I do want to address that. It does seem also on Twitter that in the last few days, the amount of Harry Winks fan club members has like multiplied by like a billion. And I'm the original OG of that. I have that very nice teal collared kit, third kit from a few years ago with the number 8 on the back. I might be the only person to have that, but I do.
Winks
have
siesta.
And I am very happy about that. Did he mean it? Yes, Winks meant it. But let's shift gears a little bit and you know, in kind of keeping with the talk of bringing players in, we're going to go to Twitter and some of our questions. And, you know, if you're not already, again, follow the show at Tottenham Pod on Twitter, look for our posts and you can comment and we'll answer your questions and talk about your takes here on the air. And it's our good friend, Austin Bazan at ATX Bazan. He says, who's a realistic target for a backup striker, considering Kane is a demigod and all, who available fits Spurs? There have been some Victor Osimhen connections back there today. We've obviously seen the Richarlison links. You know, it's a tough spot because, you know, if you're gonna come in, you got Kane, you got Son. We're messing with the 3-4-3, a 3-5-2. So you have to be pretty versatile, I think, to come in as the backup striker and not only be the backup striker, but also be an attacking, you know, winger per se. Jeremy, any thoughts on you for this position? Do you have a leading man in this role?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, whoever it is won't just be a backup striker. And I think Conte would say the same. I don't think we're after a backup striker, mostly because if that is going to be a quality player, they're not going to come to begin with. So unless we're going to go to the championship, and I know there's some impressive strikers down there, and I don't remember the one guy's name that people
have been talking about. The
Blackburn guy? What was it?
The Blackburn guy, Ben Brereton Diaz. I love that guy.
We'll definitely have to give Dustin another expert label. He is our expert resident transfer guru. He is on every rumor there is.
I've read that one multiple times, but the name was not going to stick with me.
I'll read the rumors. I don't believe all the rumors. I'll say that.
You keep tabs on them. Keep tabs.
There you go.
But go ahead, Jeremy.
It seems like the way that Paratici has decided to approach this is probably something we should have done a while ago. We need to bring in a player that can play a lot of different positions, right? Tottenham has been winger obsessed for years now, and we've never signed a winger that can also play up front really very well at all. So obviously I think if the rumors are true, then Richarlison might be the guy that comes in. He plays left wing. He can play striker. He can play second striker along. He play right at a front two. He could play Kane and Richarlison, or Kane or Son and Richarlison. And he also even played some attack in midfield a couple years ago.
He plays a little cam in there.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So I know he's sort of a he divides opinion, let's put it that way.
So before you even go on, sorry to interject, but I ran a poll. We're going to get to this because, you know, this is probably going to turn into the Richarlison Rafinha debate. And I ran a poll on the Podspur Twitter. Who would you rather bring in? And it had over 100 votes, 125 votes, I believe it was, 50-50. So
really?
Speaking of dividing opinion, it was smack.
Well, I think, I mean, do you want to start that debate? Is that?
Well, I mean, let's hold off on a sec. Continue your train of thought, and then we'll roll with it.
All right. So, well, Richarlison, 25 years old, plays multiple positions, has decent goal and assist output, you know, especially at Everton.
Premier League proven.
Yep, Premier League proven. Doesn't seem to get hurt all that much, from what I can tell. No massive injuries that I can think of. So, yeah, I mean, if not Richarlison, that profile of player that can play at multiple positions is something that I think would be fantastic. I think the idea of a backup striker is just, that's not going to pan out. So,
all right, I'm going to come in here on this one. As far as a backup striker, Burnley just went down, correct?
Correct.
I'm good with that.
I think I know where you're about with the name you're about to say.
I've always been, when we were first linked with him 2 seasons ago, Wout Weghorst,
yes.
Formerly of Wolfsburg, most recently of Burnley, I think would be a great guy. And Dustin knows why, because I am a big fan of the target man striker. Wout Weghorst is 6'6". So you throw him in there late in a game and you get some slippery hips like Fernando Llorente. Like that's what we want, right?
A big sexy beast.
But I don't necessarily see that happening. I think it would be a good fit because I think it just, you know, I think he's like 27. So I think it's a better role for him as a backup. I think he could stomach that. I think it would be a fair transfer fee and a fair wage. But the players we're currently linked to, I'm with you, Jeremy. I am team Richarlison. You know, you mentioned his versatility and left wing and striker. He played his best football for Everton when Dominic Calvert-Lewin was healthy in a top two strike force partnership. That's when he was bagging goals left and right. I'd also add, and I know this will piss a lot of people off, but I think he would have been a great player under Jose Mourinho at Spurs, because he's a bit of a dark art guy. But I, knowing who we have out on the left in Heung-min Son, and being a world-class winger and second striker, Richarlison is a right-footed player, and that's why he likes playing on the left. He's a cut-in guy. But I think with Service coming in from the left, I think you could also play him on the right, just because, you know, he's a big physical dude. He's going to fight for aerials and maybe not get some goals, but bringing balls down and then feeding into the center to, as Austin mentioned, the demigod Harry Kane, I think could work really well. And, you know, you got Kulusevski out there, and I'm from now on, I'm calling him Kulusexy. I saw that on a post and I'm all for it. So.
Absolutely.
But I think Richarlison, from that versatility piece, offers us the best. And I do think that we could see Richarlison come in. And then there was another striker, Dustin will probably know, from Bundesliga that we were linked to. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank on this.
I got my list here. I'm just going to start rattling off some names who I've seen us link more than one place with. Let's see. I'm looking for Patrick Schick's, probably not the person you're talking about.
Patrick Schick would be amazing, but he would demand a lot of money.
Yeah. Sasa Kalajdzic.
There it is.
From Stuttgart.
From Stuttgart, right? He had a great Euro tournament as well. You know, so if we're going to bring in someone in the 10 to 15 billion pound range as a backup, along with Richarlison, I'm okay with that. And that's where I think we finding a second striker would be okay. Dustin, I know you.
Go ahead. Transfer market in the U.S., he's right. Or Kalajdzic, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not, but I'm probably pretty close. They have him rated at 27.5 million U.S.
Oh, okay. All right.
But that's not a terrible thing. The other name I'll throw into there that I think is that intrigues me is from Sassuolo is Gianluca Scamacca, which is a perfect fit for the Italian thing we've got going here. He's 23. He's 6'5". He scored 18 goals for Sassuolo this year across all competition. I mean, if we're just talking a pure on striker and a target man, that's a name I'd be interested in. I've got him in Football Manager, and I brought him to Spurs, and he's scored some big goals in a couple of years. What were you going to ask me, Matt? I kind of cut you off there.
Actually, no worries. I wanted to come in on that. Our good friend Ankit from India, Ankit Verma, at @its_Ankit with 3 T's at the end, said, interesting fact just for discussion, Serie A window will be open from July 1st. So we're waiting for that to get some signings. Ask that as a question. And I think we have done from EPL, I think we have done well from EPL apart from Spence and Richarlison, which I actually think makes more sense than Rafinha because it's playing at all positions. So, you know, he just wanted to throw that in. The Serie A window is not open yet until July 1st. I think that goes for outgoings as well. And Ankit is also team Richarlison as well due to the versatility. But Dustin, get in here. You know, we're Richarlison and Rafinha debate as well as your potential backup striker.
So if I'm – you'll say the name – I'll start with the striker part first. And the what Ankit said is spot on. I didn't even realize that the Italian thing kind of opens up July 1, which I think is probably going to be the floodgate for us to really get some business done on that week before we leave for South Korea. I told you I like Scamacca. The other name that I'm, you know, I feel like a lot of people are high on because we've seen it a lot is the Ben Brereton-Diaz from Blackburn. And one of the reasons I like him is, like I said, on transfermarket.us or transfermarket dot whatever the final thing is, he's rated at 17.6 million evaluation, which is really good.
Are you probably on US dollars or pounds?
Yes, that's US dollars.
All right.
Which is, so we're probably thinking probably 13, 14 million pounds. That's a very quick estimate, but I'm probably in the ballpark there.
Math teacher.
Yeah, I forget what I think it's 0.81 exchange rate. So that's a Google. That's not math talking right there. I like what he brings to the table. 23 goals for Blackburn. He's Chile international, but he's homegrown though because he's from Thames. I think that's a good way to look. I like the idea of Sasa from Stuttgart. I just looked it up. He's 6'7", so that target man. What was it, Fernando? Like six? Only like 6'4". So we're talking about somebody who can even tower over that. I know people probably want to just dream over the Lautaro Martinez coming to Spurs thing, but I don't even want to really get touching there. But to answer your question about Rafinha and Richarlison, I'm going to go with what I voted on the poll just because I feel like that's appropriate. And I think I said Rafinha. I think a little bit – let me pull up what I had about Rafinha here. A little bit – I know about the same age. He can play on the left or he can play on the right. I think he predominantly plays on the right. I think there's a lot of really good things. And I'll also mention this. If we get one of those two guys, I don't think we've made a bad choice.
I think
Rafinha might be the better overall player, but I think Richarlison fits the idea of what we need the best. Someone who can be a backup striker. But I don't even want to use up a backup striker. I think he'd be more like a secondary striker because I think his value isn't just that of Richarlison's going to sit on the bench and just call, like, kind of bring him in when we need a backup striker. He's going to be able to get into a lot of teams. Like, he's going to play more than just that backup role. Quite a bit. I mean, we're going to look at – I mean, like I told you, I think both of you guys were in this text, 65 matches is what – if we wanted to win the quad, that's what it would take, 65 matches. You're going to see a combination of all of these players come in and playing together at a specific time. And I think that's what people That shows people why we need that depth. We can't be a 20 person squad. Like, it can't be like, I think when we won the double in 1961, there was only like 20 players that played more than 10 matches. It doesn't work like that now.
Right.
65 matches, and I don't know. Isn't there a little something going on November, December this year? What is it again? what's that?
Something in something with these open air, air conditioned stadiums.
Oh my God! I mean, what a year this is going to be.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the TIFO video that talks about how they like, where are they going to put everybody that's going to come into Qatar? And they're like, oh, they're going to stay in the United Arab Emirates and then fly back over. Right. It's like, I wish I had that money.
There's buku bucks involved in a lot of other issues involved with that whole setup right now. That'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I also wanted to add, because in my head, I thought Rafinha was much younger. Both players are 25 years old. I thought Rafinha was in the earlier 20s or closer, like 23, closer to 20. But both players are 25. So I think in my head, I thought Rafinha was more of a prospect. Who kind of, you know, did turn it on for Leeds, and that was a tough Leeds team to watch. But given the fact that they're both 25, I think it kind of is furthering my grip on Richarlison being the number one target. And Paul O'Keefe actually, you know, tweeted out earlier today that Richarlison is Spurs' main attacking target, and Fabrizio Romano confirmed that Spurs are very much on the thumb with which. Have their finger on Richarlison due to all the Winks talks, with Winks potentially heading out there as well. We've heard a lot about, you know, that would be the easier line because of a potential player plus cash move. And a couple of sources out there are saying that that's not necessarily the case due to financial fair play. So it'll be, I know Man City just brought in Calvin Phillips, and they also had a player go to Leeds, but they were also done in two separate deals. So I would assume
it's kind of like what we did with Kyle Walker-Peters and PEH.
Right. I would assume they are done in two separate deals because of the financial fair play aspect of it. Although Man City doesn't really pay much mind to that in general as well. But let's shift gears a bit, and we're speaking about money, so we'll stay on that kind of train, and we're talking about this. £150 million cash injection into Tottenham Hotspur by Daniel Levy and Enoch. Apparently, £100 million of that has been withdrawn today. So, I have questions. There was an Ellie Gold article that I know Dustin will allude to about it earlier. It seems the Basuma deal was done separate from that $150 million, and I know when that $150 million was announced, it was $150 million plus player outgoings. But $100 million pulled from that. Richarlison's looking at, you know, 65 plus another, I would say minus 20 if Winks goes the other way, 25 if Winks goes the other way. There's 40. You know, I think this means an attacking player is coming through, you know, with this money being withdrawn. Jeremy, yeah. What's your thought on this whole financial?
It's very interesting. It's very interesting because I know, you know, when players are signed, you don't typically write a check for £50 million and put it in the mail. I mean, it's usually paid in installments anyway, from what I understand. So,
at least what Spurs try to do. Which, yeah, I don't blame them.
So I don't know.
Can we Klarna you?
Like, do we have to move it into the account? Like, does it have to be present in order to make an offer, like as evidence, or is this more of a power play by Spurs to make it look like, just to remind people? I have no clue. I think either way, the players are coming in. I am chuckling now because Tottenham is a team that's never had money, and we've had like multiple moments this summer where it's like, oh, Spurs are now moving another $100 million here and there, and it's.
Well, see, the thing is, Jeremy, we got a check-in and a savings, and all the money's in the savings.
Jeremy, let me ask you this. Do you think that announcement per se, or, you know, hey, $100 million has been withdrawn, we're going to spend it, does that handcuff us a bit in negotiations?
Well, I mean, it had, from what I understand, it had to be publicly announced somewhere as a matter of transparency. I did read that in, I think it was an Ali Gold article, or that might have been on another podcast. Because it was an official injection into the club by the owner. So that did have to be announced, but we did do it with much fanfare, right? So there, a sliver of that is, it had to be announced. A lot more of it was PR. Does it handcuff us? I mean, everybody knows that United and Liverpool and Man City can spend whatever they want to. So I don't really think it does. I think that either way, clubs are going to be out there getting the absolute most that they can. But I do think that if it did anything, it definitely told the world that we were backing Conte, so that if he did anything slippery, maybe Levy wasn't to blame. So, but overall, I wasn't very cynical about the whole thing. I was basically just excited.
Right. And in that Allie Gold article,
what's your take on this?
I'm not cynical either. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good with the flow of things. It's nice to see us say, like, hey, we have some money and we're going to make a run at it. I did read in the Allie Gold article that other $50 million that we still haven't, like, officially withdrawn. Can just a matter of us going to Daniel and say, hey, can we get that money now? So, I think it's more of a sign. I think it's supposed to say, like, we're doing things differently. Like, we're not the same. It's not the same old. You know, then again, we hear about what's going on with Jed Spence and the finagling. But I think it's trying to set that precedence and just let everybody know we're not doing the things that we used to do. We're trying something different. We're trying to move forward. And we think this is our time. We're not going to back down. So let's go for it.
Yeah, great shout. Let's shift gears again. We don't know for sure. Apparently it cannot be completed till July 1st, but Steven Bergwijn is off to Ajax. We are also assuming Harry Winks is off to Everton. Fabrizio Romano did say that is going slow, but seems to be on the right track. So let's play a short game of keep, sell, and loan. All right, and let's start with the alien master himself, Joe Rodon. And I'll start with you, Jeremy. Are you keeping Joe? Are you loaning him? Are you selling him? I know Roma's interested, as I believe the quote from Jose Mourinho, he told Hugo Lloris that Joe Rodon has the potential to be one of the best center backs in the world and is a special player.
It's so hard. I mean, I almost feel like we're not equipped to answer this because we haven't really seen him play much. I do think it's very telling that under most of the managers we've had the last couple of years, he hasn't really played that much. I don't recall him playing a whole lot under Jose either, despite Jose's really kind words, whatever that's about, whatever pieces he's moving.
Jose did bring him in. We'll give him that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played against Chelsea that first. Well, he had to be thrust in there because I think Dyer was out.
Yeah.
0-0 draw at the Bridge.
This is a really difficult one. I think I don't see how a guy his age I do believe he's a talented player. I think there's a player in there. I don't know how we keep him and use him as a straight backup for Dyer and never play him. I'd almost rather see him go for his sake. And I'm not one of a fan that typically says that. I would like to see him have a role. I want to see him involved. And I don't know if he's at the point in his career where we're loaning him anymore. He seems like he's getting on in age. So, you know, I like him. I'd love for him to be part of the squad if Conte wants him and if he gets playing time, but he may still be sold.
I'll come in with that Joe Rodon is 24 years old. So in the shelf life of a center back, he's not prime yet, right? He's got a few years to go. He also is a right-footed left center back, which doesn't always sit well with me. I think that's why Ben Davis has done so well. He's left-footed and has slid. He's not a fullback. He's not a wing back, and he's slotted in very well at the left center back position. Joe Rodon is a very tough one. I would hate to see what happened with Juan Foyth happen with Joe Rodon, and we loan him out with a cheap option to buy, and, like, of course that shit's going to get picked up. I think if Rodon is going out on loan, I would not like to see that buyout clause. Or if that is the case, I'd rather see him straight sold. Dustin, what's your take on Rodon?
I'm gonna say keep, because, and I'm gonna say that because I know one of these other players are gonna ask us keep.
Because you trust Jose.
Matt, you and I have talked about Jose a lot the last couple of days, and especially because I'm rewatching the doc. There's not a lot of things that Jose Mourinho said about our club that I don't disagree with. That's right. I mean, he divided opinion, and he might have caused some rift in some of the locker rooms. And, yeah, there are some people that didn't want to play for him. But I don't think he's far off on a lot of things. I think he's just brutally honest. I mean, I told you yesterday, I think he helped Kane find his voice. I mean, Kane's always going to be a lead by example player, and you need those guys. But I think
with me, you will explode. Yes. All right, let's get back to Rodon.
But anyways, I'm going to jump the gun because I know one of the people you're probably going to ask us about keeps Cell loan is Jaffa Tanganga, a personal favorite of mine. And I think we're going to loan Tanganga, which tells me we need to keep Rodon. Right. Because I'm also thinking about what we've said we needed from center backs. We need a left center back that's going to challenge Ben Davies for that starting part. And we need another center back who's like a true middle center, mid of the box center back. And I know that Joe Rodon typically plays that left side. Maybe we can slide him over and play the center if need be, but I think this year is going to be we have plans for Jaffa Tanganga. He's really versatile. He's also, I feel like there's a little bit of, he gets a lot of second chances because he's an academy kid, which I'm willing to give him also because of that. But I say we're going to keep Rodon because I think we're going to need six solid center backs this year to do what we want to try to do.
That's interesting because Jaffa Tanganga is not on my list because I'm a big Jaffa Tanganga fangirl and I don't want any Jaffa Tanganga slander on this podcast. Yeah.
No, I'm not getting rid of Jaffa Tanganga at all. I'm saying loan him.
I also think that him coming back from an injury keeps him at Hotspur away this season just to kind of stay with the club, stay with the physio, stay. Antonio Conte gets the chance to really evaluate who he is as a player.
That's fair.
Jeremy, I know you want to hop
in there on an interesting contrast between Rodon and Bergwijn, because Bergwijn, when he went to the Nations League this summer, it was very clear what his goal was, to leave. And he was very, very forward about not playing and how he felt about that. Rodon, when he was interviewed, do you recall he was saying he was thanking Antonio Conte for keeping him in shape, even though he didn't get playing time, which is just sort of like a really, I don't know how to read that or what to think, but I don't know if he's a guy, like for all we know, he actually kind of likes playing for Conte and playing at Spurs. So, you know, that's always something that works into every equation. But it was an interesting contrast for me, those two players.
Yeah. Interesting show for sure.
I wonder if him being with Ben Davies and knowing that's his national team partner has a lot to do with that. Cause I think that says a lot too. We had Jan Vertonghen and Toby Alderweireld tonight. Their togetherness was huge.
True.
So I think with Ben and Joe, that could be thinking. Maybe that's the winner in Joe Rodon saying, you know, I'm just waiting for my opportunity. When it comes, I'm gonna take it.
All right,
stay ready.
Next up on keep, sell, or loan, and I'm gonna caveat the next two with the same asterisk. I don't expect any of us to say sell. It's more of a keep, and when I say keep, it means keep around the first team or loan. So I'll throw that out there, and I think. If you're listening, you'll know where I'm going with this, and the boys will as well. We'll start with Scarlett, and we'll start with you, Jeremy, on there. What are you doing with Dane Scarlett?
Yeah, I mean, we're 100% keeping him. I'm to the point where I would like to see him start going out on loan, either to the championship or to even a team like Forest or a low-level Premier League team. Harry Kane, what did he go out on loan? 7 times, 8 times, some really incredible amount. Now, maybe we keep him around the first team for a little bit longer, but I want to see this dude playing at a competitive level of English football, not just for our U19 team or something like that. Maybe he's not quite there, but unless he's going to be getting a lot of game time, that's kind of my view.
No, that's well said, and the reason I have him on here is because of the recent performances for England's U19. And I think where I wanted to shift the debate on this was, you know, the experience of a loan versus the experience of training every day with Harry Kane and, you know, going at these first-team defenders and midfielders every day at practice, which is more beneficial. For me, if we're going to bring in a Richarlison – and not a, you know, dubbed backup striker, I'm keeping him on the first team. If we're going to bring in, you know, Richarlison plus the player from Stuttgart, then I'm okay with a loan here. And that's kind of where I'm at with that. How about you, Dustin?
I'm also with you about not trying to pronounce his name anymore, so I'm just going to start calling him Sasa. So Sasa. I think maybe, and then once he comes to us and he's really good, we're going to start calling him Saucy. I Sorry, I had a brain fart there for a second. I'm with you on the – I like what you said right there. I think that Dane Scarlett's destined to go out on loan. And because I'm an Uber dork and I'm looking at a spreadsheet in front of me where I said on like
– these math guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a dork. What I said the season ended on, like, what was, like, what, the 19th? I think on maybe, like, the 21st, I made a spreadsheet of who all of our players are, and I started to plot out who I think they're going to go. And I'm to the point where I told you that I say loan Dane Scarlett, and I told you even where I was going to loan him, and that was to wow. Sheffield Wednesday in League One, because that's a team that I think was going to be pushing for promotion back to the championship.
And they only went down due to some, I think, financial points deducted.
I think maybe this is their third year maybe in League One, but yes, it's very much a similar situation to the Derby County drop down also. And I think they lost in the playoff this year, or just missed the playoff this year, one of the two. And I think a club like that would be really good for it, because they're going to be hungry and they're going to push him on. And I think, like, think back to with Skip in his Norwich loan. I think there was a lot to him playing minutes on a team that was moving forward, not just hanging out. So I think Scarlett, I think he's destined for a loan. And I know, Matt, you're going to have a different opinion on this. I think this is the year we try out Troy Parrott with the first team to keep him around and really get the to say, what are we going to do with this guy?
I might have to write a blog post about how Dane Scarlett is levels ahead of Troy Parrott in their
career. I don't disagree with you, but I think this is the year where we actually say, let's get some finality to this.
That's fair.
They do need to decide on Troy Parrott at some point. I mean, I don't know.
He had a nice season at MK, and I think he's a big reason that they went up. But
I just do not think he's a Premier League striker by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. But that's me. Moving on, next player, exact same scenario as I presented with Dane Scarlett, and also due to the recent success of England in the U19s, is Alfie Devine. Jeremy, obviously it's keeper loan. So
yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing with him?
I'd almost say, for me, more likely to keep him. And part of that is just the amount of players we're going to need in the midfield and the amount of games. Midfield is – there's so much attrition in the midfield throughout the year and cup games and all of that. I wouldn't mind seeing him hang around. And do we know how old he is?
17.
17. Oh my God, they're so young.
That's why I'm with
you. 17 for a while still.
Right, like, he just turned 17. I'm with you on the keep as well, just because of that number.
Yeah,
sorry to hop in there, but just because of that number, I think the experience at this point, you know, really would do wonders.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Dustin.
I'm gonna say loan, and I'm gonna pull a similar card to what I did with Dane Scarlett and Troy Parrott. Here's why I say loan. Is because we got to talk about Papi Sarr from Metz. I think he's the guy that's probably going to hang around, because they've already talked about keeping him around for at least to January and then making a decision on what he needs there. And he's 19.
Yeah. Gosh. That's a very good shout, Dustin. That's a name you have not heard on Spurs Twitter at all as of late. So I'm definitely glad you brought that up.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason I say, like I said, I know you guys at first want to disagree, but I was like, I think we've already got some people in that line ready to roll.
Discourse is good. Discourse is why we pod, man. Next one up, and this is the last one on the list, and you know, kind of controversial. Emerson,
sell.
Where are you going on, Jeremy? Sell. You're 100%. On the.
Oh yeah, because the dude is a right back, and he's a good right back, and people will pay for him in Spain. He's going to be a good player. The only reason I'd keep him is
23 years old.
Yeah. I don't think, we know that Conte got a better end of the season out of him by having him not cross the ball. And that's not what we're looking for this year. I don't want to play with a right wing back that essentially you're playing and keeping back defensively. So for me, it's definitely a sell, but not with a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, he's a great kid. He's exciting. But he's in the wrong position. So for me, I would cash in on him.
He's an interesting one for me. Like you said, he's a right fullback. That is his primary position. Yeah. Right wing back is a little outside of him. But he's also listed on like several sites like FotMob and Transfer Market as also playing some right mid. So I don't know if he's played that for Brazil in the past. And I can't understand why that doesn't transfer to right wing back for me. for me, there's just too much of a player there. It's keep for me, and it's learn the system. Keep, learn the system, hone your trait. You're still young. You got some time. How about you, Dustin?
I'm going to say keep, but I'm going to put an asterisk with this unless we – and it's not Jed Spence. I do think – I'm interested in Jed Spence, but I don't think that even bringing in Jed Spence will see the sell on of Emerson Arroyo. I say we keep him because, like you said, he did develop. I mean, Matt, you said it early last year. To take a right back and tell him to play right wing back is not as easy as you think it is. It's much easier to have a right wing back learn the right back spot just because it translates a little bit easier. But I think – I know there's a couple of names that have floated around here lately. Jonathan Klaus from Racing Club Linz, and you also got to talk about Mohamed Simakan from RB Leipzig that we've talked about, potentially both of those being right backs. We'll see if one of those if we land somebody like that, I think his name is the first one to go.
Fair.
From a right back standpoint, even above Matt Doherty, but for right now, based on what we've got to keep him. He progressed too much last year for me to sell him.
No, I'm definitely with you there. I think there's a player there. Barcelona doesn't spend that much on a kid or put that release clause in. Interesting how that hold the. Deportation went, but
it's funny how many people when we got him, we were also talking about Takahiro Tomiyasu that ended up going to Arsenal.
Right.
There's so many people at the beginning of the season, at the end of, we'll call it October, who are ready to say, oh, we won on that, or Arsenal fans, or we won that deal, we got the better end of that. And then look, they also try to do that with Ben White and Cudi Romero. But I just remember, I want to ask, what night are they playing on midweek next year?
I also want to go back to the point you said. We expect Matt Doherty to come back, who did experience a resurgence under Antonio Conte. But also want to note he is 30 years old, and a 30-year-old wingback usually doesn't last that much longer. So I do like having Emerson around. But we're gonna come back after a short break and give kind of our potential lineups and who we see as our best Spurs 11, along with some blanket season predictions and how we see the season shaping up for Tottenham Hotspur. My bad. But we'll do that right after this short break. Welcome back to Tottenham Podspur. Thanks for joining us after the break. We're going to give kind of our take now in looking at what the best potential lineups look like. And I know I alluded to it earlier with Bissouma coming in. I'm a little confused about what the midfield will look like. I'm a little confused about what the formation will look like. But I also want to caveat that with I know that we have squad depth, and that is very much a plus. And I know that will benefit us going forward. But, assuming all players are healthy, we'll look at that as part of this. Who are we going to see as our potential best starting 11s? Who would you start in, any match per se? And Jeremy, you ready to tackle this one first, big guy? Throwing your
hand. Yeah, I guess so. So I do think that Conte's favorite formation will remain a 3-4-3. And I think that could change if we play a more high octane team. So I think you might have alluded to that, Matt. So I won't steal that. I'll stick with my 3-4-3 here. Opening up against Southampton, I do see a 3-4-3. I think I'm of the mind that Perisic will probably be starting at left wing back this year for the majority of games. So I think he'll start. We'll have Davies, Dyer, and Romero in the middle, right? As of now, because we haven't signed another left center back. And I actually like Matt Doherty to start at right wing back, assuming he's recovered. But again, we'll see about incomings. I'm going to keep saying that. I know the rule here is who we have right now. It's so hard to just.
No, and we'll also, if you're listening, we'll revisit this, as we get closer to that Southampton match.
In the midfield, I'm kind of assuming Bentancur and Bissouma, maybe Bissouma playing a more defensive role and letting Bentancur play a little more in an attacking role. Bentancur also did a great job last year of pressing. There was a great stat out there about his amount of pressing in the other team's final third. It was really impressive. So I think he'd be great a little bit further up the pitch. And then Son, Kane, and Kulusevski up front. And I think that's our front three, pretty much regardless of who we bring in week one. So,
all right, cool. I want to go to Twitter with a fellow Spurs boy and from the Spurs boys chat that Dustin, myself, and Jeremy are in on WhatsApp. And my good friend, Ed Brad. Ed is a good friend, I would say, because we argue a lot. But it as of late, it's always ended in great humor. So I appreciate that. And he says, from who we have so far, 3-4-3 again, Lloris, Sessegnon, Davis, Dyer, Romero, Doherty, Bissouma, Skip, Kulusevski, Kane, and Son. And he said, however, I'd expect to see a lot of rotation during the season, specifically around center, mid, and wing back, I think, which we alluded to a lot. And I hate to admit this on the pod, and I'm going to have to admit this in the chat with Ed, but that's where I'm at as well. I mean, you know, I think the 3-4-3 is who we're going to see versus everyone not named Liverpool, City, or Chelsea. I think versus those three teams, it's a 3-5-2, and we could split hairs on that all day long. But I think the 3-4-3 is who we see. And as far as Bissouma and Skip as that midfield, you know, kind of pivot in that 3-4-3, I think it probably gives the most stability. I also see Skip as a player who, you know, throws in some heavy challenges and can pick up a card here or there. So, you know, 60 minutes coming off for Rodrigo Bentancur is not a bad thing. But I think that's the anchor and the most progressive player that we have in that midfield too. So Ed, cheers to you, brother. I'm with you. There's your shout out. I know I'll pay for this later in the WhatsApp chat, but that's my starting group for the majority of matches, I'll say. Dustin.
I don't think my, you know, I don't, we've not said Lloris, but I mean, I think it's a given that he is, he's our guy between the sticks.
You're not on the Fraser Foster train?
I like Fraser Foster, but he's not going to take over the starting position of Hugo Lloris.
Club captain.
I just have a hard time believing a guy that's not going to make the England squad is going to take over the spot of the goalkeeper for the reigning champions. I think as of right now, our back three is what it was. Ben Davies on the left, Eric Dyer in the middle, Cody Romero on the right. I do believe that the name Gleeson Brimmer is probably going to end up taking that left center back spot. I know we haven't talked about defenders a whole lot, but I really think we talked about Serie A, and I kind of got fuzzy in a little bit. When we were talking about that, and I forgot to bring up his name. But
I think just drop him in there, Dustin, and yeah, drop him and run now.
I'm going to casually just drop that in there.
Yeah. I also want to throw in the fact that I said I have a problem with right-footed left center backs.
Yeah.
He fits that bill for me.
That's real.
That's why I was high on Bastoni. I was really high on the Bastoni trend.
I think Bastoni is probably the best option, but I think Brimmer would be a viable option also if he whatever the saga is with him.
It would fit the Paratici mold of bringing in the Serie A best defender in the league MVP award 2 years in a row.
Yes. In the midfield, I think I'm still, at least for now, rocking Bensacourt and PEH. I think they've been really solid. I do think, though, you could almost put any of those four together. More than likely, you could put any of those four together. I think on a given day, those four are probably going to make the squad starting and bench pretty much all the time.
Sure.
And then wing backs, I think we're going to start with Emerson Royale just on the right now. And I think I still believe Sessegnon is going to get the nod just because a little bit quicker, a little bit more. Or just Yvonne Perisic. It's going to. I mean, I know. Yes, he knows the Conte system. But I think we're going to see Sessegnon take it. Or if we're talking, you know, who's going to start against Southampton, I'm going to take Sessegnon for right now. And then I'm not touching the front three of Sonny and Kane and Deki. It's not happening. They people talk about who's going to have the best front three, and I see graphics that don't have those three, and I feel insulted because they. It's hard to. Think of 50 goal contributions between the three of them in the 15 matches they started from Manchester City on. I think that's the big stat that I've used on my blog posts a bunch. And that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a great shout. I do like that. And if you're listening, get in touch with us on any of our socials and let us know what your starting 11 is. If it's different than ours, how we did rating ours, and you know what you would like to see. Let's go also back to the Spurs boys chat and not back to Ed. I gave Ed enough airtime. Let's go to our fearless leader, Graham. Graham is on Twitter at Big White Heart Lane, and it's Big White HRT Lane. He says, guys, welcome back. Big shout out, Graham has been a Podsboro supporter since the get. What silverware do you think we can realistically win next season, and why? Be imaginative, but also pragmatic, please. And we'll start with you again, Jeremy. You know, yeah. It's your first cap, so we're putting you to the fire with these questions.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult because cup competitions are such a crapshoot. They really are. I mean, you can have a wonderful year and not win a cup. So do I honestly think we're winning Champions League and or Premier League this year? If I had to give you my honest answer, I don't think yet. But I think we'll be right in the mix. So I don't say that negatively at all. Not at all. I'm super pumped. Whether we win the FA Cup or Carabao Cup, I'm going to go ahead and say we'll win one because I'm optimistic and I think we're good enough. We're good enough to do it. We're definitely good enough. But you guys know how those competitions are. I mean, one team wins and you're normally going to play a giant at the end. So I think we can win a cup this year. And I think we'll be in the mix for the Premier League and the Champions League.
All right. So after this, we're going to go to kind of blanket predictions, which, you know, you kind of started with. But as far as, you know, cups, I'll look at just cups or silverware. And I'm with you, the league, no. But I'll talk a little bit about that as far as, you know, a blanket prediction. Champions League, here's my bold prediction for that. Final four. We're going to be in the last four for Champions League. We're not going to make the final, but we're going to be in the last four. FA Cup, no. No. Carabao Cup, 2-1, final win over Man City, revenge. City's going to have a lot to play for. They're going to be in that Champions League final. Pep has to do it, adding Calvin Phillips. He has to, right? Or else, you know, he's over $1 billion spent. What the fuck else can happen? I'm going Carabao Cup. I'm going League Cup. I'm going to drink 19 Carabao energy drinks on this show when that happens.
You will die.
And just roll the dice and see what happens. I think
you should drink 23 since it'll be in 2023.
Right. I'm a big meme fan. You know, if you follow me on anything, I love memes. I love GIFs. And I saw one today. It was like, I don't drink alcohol. I start my day early and I mess with, like, you know, 7 cafe lattes back to back and see what happens. Will I die? Will I get hectic? No, I'm cool with that. So Carabao Cup, Energy Cup, you heard it from me.
I don't see us winning the Carabao Cup. I can see it.
And you know what? I'd be okay with that. And I'll tell you why I'll be okay with that when we get a little bit further into the league talk. Dustin, how about you? Silverware, baby.
So Graham told me to be imaginative. So I'm going to get real imaginative on you guys.
Stay in the quad. I'm kicking you out of this chat right now.
Don't worry. I'm going with something you haven't even thought about. I'm going to say I will be in person to watch the Spurs women win the Women's Cup in Louisville, Kentucky come August 20th.
There you go.
I would love to be. I hope I can get the opportunity to go see them because, you know, I saw – I'm a big University of Michigan fan. I got to see Michigan baseball play this summer up in Louisville at the college NCAA tournament. So it's odd that was the first sport I finally got to see Michigan play in was college baseball. It would be fitting that the first time I get to see Spurs play would be the Spurs women play in a random preseason tournament. But
I'm sorry, Alex Morgan is not there for you.
I know it's okay. It's okay. It'll be okay. I don't even know who she plays for right now. She's not. She plays for another team in the U.S. and I don't think they're in it. But no, I'm not going to say the quad because you and I have talked at length that it's not 65 games. Right. I don't think it's going to. World Cup.
There's the World Cup in the middle of all this.
Right. So we're talking about the best players in the world playing roughly 72 to 75 games in a season.
Fair.
That's a whole lot. But anyways, I will say I agree with you. It's Premier League. I think we're going to put in a strong effort and be fighting for it. I don't think it's our time yet. I think I also kind of thought that I think the cup that we really need to target is the Carabao Cup or Carabao Cup, however you pronounce it. Just because it's a cup that, like, Jose talked about that. He liked to win that cup because of, like, the final's an earlier date. Like, it's what, March? Oh, I have the thing, and it's on the different thing. I'm not going to fight with it. It's like March something where that final is, and I think that'll be good because at that point,
It's placing a stake. It's, you know, it's throwing that stake in the ground and really saying, yeah, yeah, we're here.
I think by that point, we'll know about where what we're looking for at the league. We'll know what we're looking for FA Cup wise, and we'll know where we'll be at Champions League wise. So I think the hardest thing about winning the Carabao Cup, though, will be something that I hope we talk about later, is the fact that the when we come back, when people come back from the World Cup, like 2 days after, 2 or 3 days after the final, there's a Carabao Cup round. We'll talk about that later, because I've thought about what would that starting 11 be if we, just right. based on who's going to be at that. But I'll let that be a discussion for another day. Yeah, because the lineup I have, I've thought about that, is actually pretty interesting. But like I said, I'll save that for later. I think it's going to be the Carabao Cup this year. I think we're going to challenge in a lot of things. I think we're going to be in those competitions, because I think we're going to be pretty strong depth wise, and I think that's going to be, this is going to be the stepping stone here. People are going to be like, wow, okay, if they do that again next year, watch out.
Yeah, I like how you said challenge in all competitions. So let's kind of get to that, like, blanket season prediction. I'm going to start this one off. I'll give you a little bit of time to think, Jeremy. We'll keep take you out of the hot seat as the new guy. So we're going to go league, we're going to go Champions League, we're going to go FA Cup, and we're going to go Carabao. Kind of a blanket prediction of where you see each of those rounding out. I think we've kind of touched upon all of those, but we'll give a little, you know, firm. We can revisit this as we go throughout this year. Starting with the English Premier League, Tottenham Hotspur are finishing in second place this season. It's going to be an 11-point gap behind City. City's gonna run all, but I think this is the year City get over the hump for Champions League. I really do. I think Pep might be on a wellness check. If not,
I don't know what else I got to do to do that.
Well, I think the addition of Calvin Phillips for that low of a price tag was just brilliant business by them. I almost feel like they're like a Kansas or a Duke of college basketball, where like they don't really have to convince players, like their name recruits for them. So I do think they win it. I think there's a massive drop off for Liverpool. Losing out on Sadio Mane. I think Sadio Mane goes over to Germany in the Bundesliga and wins. They give out their award is in the Golden Boot. It's the Golden Cannon. It's an awesome, absolute trophy. It sucks that it kind of looks like the Arsenal logo a bit, but it's a really cool trophy. So I think Mane absolutely crushes it over there.
Did either of you two get the FotMob update for the transfer talk today that and this is an update. This is from FotMob. I don't know how true it is, but apparently a word has come out that Liverpool has told Mo Salah that if they can find a replacement, they'll
let him. I did see that the Salah talk is potentially out there. I think Darwin Nunez is a player. I was very excited last year in watching Champions League because Tottenham was not in it, but kind of like rethinking about what he did well on the pitch and what strikers do well in the Premier League. I don't think he's a good Premier League attacking third player. I think he's going to struggle. So I think Liverpool see a massive drop off unless Diego Jota can absolutely carry them. But I don't think he's that guy. And then, you know, if Salah does end up out, I think the whole with Liverpool Klopp announcing that after 2024 he's leaving, I think it kind of like brings that whole project down to a halt. So I think Liverpool drop off. I think Chelsea are going to play Timo Werner up top. And same thing, not a Premier League striker. Great in the Bundesliga, great in, you know, one-off matches, but the grind and the physicality of the Premier League, I think he struggles. I think Chelsea drop. I know they're going ham on Declan Rice right now. If they can pull that off, they will challenge Tottenham for second. But and who else am I looking at? I think United are even further drop off. So I do see Tottenham finish second in the league. I took a long time on that. I usually don't like to talk that long. I like to point guard on these things.
Well, you had to talk about all the massive big clubs out there, and you did. You covered all of them.
Yep.
You didn't leave anybody out.
No, I did not. And I did that specifically. You know, if you're a club in North London not named Tottenham, and Dustin, you're going to love this. You can bring in Jesus. You can bring in Allah. You can bring in Jehovah. You can bring in Zeus. You name the deity. You can bring him in. But you are not finishing above Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
What if they bring in Oprah Winfrey?
Depends if Stedman comes in. If Stedman comes in there with him too, then it might work. But That's my case for that. All right. So I did the league. I told you my Champions League. Spurs are going Final Four, baby. We're going to lose in the semifinals. That's just gut prediction. Whatever. It is what it is. FA Cup. Semifinal. A semifinal exit as well. Carabao Cup champions. That is my season blanket prediction. There is one trophy. There is a runner-up and two semifinalists in there. Jeremy, tell me I'm wrong.
So, no, I think we're pretty similar, actually. So for the league, I think we're gonna do really well. And I think what's important is that I believe in April we'll still be having the discussion of, you know, is this possible? And that'll be cool. So being in the running, maybe even getting into the mid-year and being in front for a while. I also have us at second place. And I think what gives us a real edge this year especially is just the way that Conte is the master of having his team in shape and rotating players and understanding how to keep the team healthy. You know, we have such a large staff now, coaching staff behind the scenes when it comes to nutrition and injury recovery. Yeah. It's incredible. And I think coming out of the World Cup, teams are going to struggle. There's going to be a grind, a lot of attrition. So I kind of back us to maybe do better than other clubs in handling that challenge. So we'll go second. I also think that City, I don't think it's like a 1 or a 2 point thing. I think it's probably 6, 8, 10 points above us. But interesting on Liverpool that you see them dropping off so much. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I agree that I think they're going to struggle a lot. I think Man United will probably bounce back a little bit just because you can't get much worse than they were last year. I mean, you can, but not with Ronaldo and Fernandes and these guys. That was remarkable. So I think they'll be back a little bit in the fold. But
I think them, Bruno's been exposed a bit. So I think that's their biggest cog, like not turning in the wheel.
I imagine they've got to do a little bit better. But I see us.
I think we all agree, too. We like Erik ten Hag.
Did like him a lot. Now I'm more.
Yeah, fuck him now.
Yeah.
We like it. We like what he brings to the table as a manager. It just in a vacuum.
Dude wore a nice vest under his suit. Like, it is what it is.
That's true. Champions League. I'm going to say my heart says at least last 8, but I'll say last 16.
All right. Just so you got to send the knockout. You got to send the knockout.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I don't. Even our last bout under it there where we got destroyed under Pochettino, we still made it out of the group. I think that we're good enough for that. And we will definitely be successful. Yeah. Oh my God. I had actually recorded that and had looked forward to it all day and completely shut down my socials and got home late at night and watched that and just wanted to drink my sorrows away.
So let me tell you this. Speaking of drinking your sorrows away for that one, we ran a Rhode Island Spurs Oktoberfest party for that one. Hold on. I know you can't see this on the pod, but reaching over, we had custom mugs made. Come on, you Spurs. Dustin has one. Yeah, it did not go well for us there, but I feel your pain on that.
Well, rounding it up, I'll say I also had FA Cup semifinal, and you convinced me. Let's go with a prediction. We'll win the Carabao Cup this year. Let's do it.
Boom. Dustin, what do you got?
I'm going to say I was ready to jump in and be like, yeah, we're going to finish second. I'm going to be different. Oh, no, everyone's going to say that. Of course, because that's what happens when I go last.
Call the invincible season, Dustin. Call it.
I'm gonna say I'm not, because I like to be on the I like to be in this podcast. I'm gonna say I'll agree with you guys. We're gonna go second in the Premier League. City's gonna win it. I think there will be virtually no gap. Like, us and Liverpool will be pretty darn close, within 2-3 points. I don't think Chelsea makes Champions League next year, because I think there's too much going on there. I don't know who my fourth team is, though. We'll have to come back to that later this summer. Champions League, I'm going to say we'll go quarterfinals. We'll draw a big team, like a real, real big, one of the super clubs, and we'll put up a good show, but, you know, we'll lose like 4-2 on aggregate, something like that. FA Cup, we're going to go semifinals, and then we're going to win the Carabao Cup, and I'm going to take a change out of Matt's book, and we're going to win a North London Derby 2-0, because in the North London Cup,
there's a team that's only runners up and they don't get nothing at the Arsenal.
They are runners. All right. So, well said. We will revisit these and we would love to hear your take on this. So if you are listening, please let us know what you think we'll do in each of those comps. Again, follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Links in the episode description. One last whip around, just final thoughts you had. Wrap up the episode, take us home. Jeremy, start us off.
I'm excited. I'm just really excited. I'm excited for preseason. I'm excited for our international tours. I think that the signings are coming. I think that the team's going to be competitive. There's going to be a lot of good days at the new stadium. We're going to be an absolute powerhouse, and that's all I can think about these days. It's great.
Go ahead, Dustin.
I'm going to start off by saying it's good to be back on the pod. Glad to know that people know we exist. I've missed this a lot. I told Matt when he texted me, what was it, a couple weeks ago, and said, so let's talk about Podspur. I think I told you, I was like, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this text.
That was literally the start of the conversation. All I said to him was, let's talk about Podspur. And he said, I've been waiting for weeks to talk about this. Glad it made Dustin's day.
You did. It was late too. I think Reds might have been playing late, and we were watching it in our bedroom when I got that text. I was really excited, it's fun to do some business early. Like, it's been fun that it's not the waiting game. Which, I mean, I'm a patient person. I don't know. I've never worked in the business of athletics before. Well, I mean, I kind of have.
You're an assistant stuff. Athletic director.
I know.
Man.
I would say I've never on a professional side. You know, I'm not. My school doesn't buy players. Which offline, I'll tell you guys a little story about. Buying some players that went to the state stuff. I'm not into the business of buying players. So some of the stuff, you know, you have to be patient and kind of let the process go, but it's a lot of fun to see us make some moves early and get some new faces in and speculate what could be. You know, I talk about, we're not going to win the quad, but I'll say this. What if we did? That'd be pretty darn sweet.
What if
I feel like Matt, and I would have, we would have to give somebody their flowers if that was the case.
To dare is to do, right? To dare is to do. Or to dare has been too dear lately, so to dare is to do. We'll definitely stick with that. I think for me, for kind of wrapping things up, I'm so happy to be back on here. Love chatting Spurs with you guys. And let's just keep up with the positivity. Again, you know, if you're listening, you kind of want to join the team, go ahead. That's what it's all about. Also, before we do head out, I want to give a big congratulations to Ben Davis. Got married yesterday. Again, we're recording this on the 25th, so he got married on the 24th. Big congratulations to him. Big shout.
Didn't
out
Ryan
to
Mason just get married today?
Ryan Mason also did. Yeah. So Spurs love is in the air.
And it's also Hot Rod Rodrigo Bittenger's birthday today.
It is his birthday. Happy birthday to the Hot Rod.
It's just a good old Spurs day for us.
I've actually thought about him a lot lately because I almost feel like, you know, it's either going to be him or PEH that becomes the kind of the odd man out of this midfield. And I think that's going to be our biggest storyline to kind of keep tabs on is this Spurs midfield. I think because there's so many questions with, you know, I think like Dustin said earlier in the pod that, you know, they'll all be in the squad, but like, do some guys start getting a little bit pissed that their playing time starts dropping, or does this group remain professional? So, you know, I have thought about him a lot with that, but that about wraps things up for this episode. So thanks for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all the show's accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. I'm going to add a section on the website with all of us, all of our social links too, so you can quick follow all of us if you want to kind of stay in touch. And again, go back and check out Dustin's blog series on podspur.com. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show and cancels out some of these fake negative reviews posted on a trailer by a group of uninformed individuals. Thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, Matt, for my good friends, Jeremy and Dustin. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.